Send a movie idea.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules at the Dream Factory are very simple. We can discuss as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where rumours will appear online that the film's lead is going to be played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who has scored the lead role after lengthy contract negotiations at Dream Factory HQ. I'm Joel, a man who puts the shit into serious hitman, and across from me is John Harris, a man who, thanks to his schooling, would regularly receive three taps on the shoulder from a shady MI5 figure on his way to Latin. Hi, John.
Hello, mate. I've never...
That's what I've always assumed happened at these very posh schools. You know, there's like a MI5 recruitment. I'm not even saying you went to one of them, but there's like an MI5 recruitment guy, and he gives you a little, he thinks that's an athletic looking young boy, and they give you a little tap on the shoulder, and then that you go and meet them on a park bench or something. I don't know. Isn't that how they recruit? That's surely how they still recruit.
Yeah, I think so. Or you study, like, I'm sure someone told me that if you study like religion at Oxbridge, you might get in for MI5. I have no idea why that would be the case. Why would that be the case, Joel?
Yeah, you'd be better off studying firearms or something at Oxford, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. How many vocational courses are they doing
obstacle
now?
Obstacle courses.
At Oxbridge.
Did you ever even briefly have a fanciful look at MI5 as a place to apply for? I think I might have done... Isn't there like an entrance test you can do online, like an aptitude test? I think I might have done that.
No, Joel, I'm a fraidy pants. I'm not doing that.
I would make a brilliant spy.
Also, this sounds like a brag. But it's not. Mm. I am a terrible liar. I am physically incapable. Right. Not physically incapable, but it's not a thing I vibe with, right? So just sort of doing that for a living sounds horrible.
Mm. What are your tells?
Laughter. I'm a bit, yeah.
Really?
I start giggling.
Oh no.
Imagine Bond. Like I'm disguised fucking, you know, in some Russian embassy and I'm there just chuckling to myself. Yes, my name is Daniel.
giggling every time you have to hand over a passport that's in a different name. That's what I want. What I really want is just like a wardrobe that has 12 different passports, 12 different currencies. That's always the best bit, isn't it?
Yes.
I'd just do it for a laugh. I'd be like, well, I'm going on holiday. I'm going to go on holiday as someone from the Czech Republic.
Joel and I are both not single men, but that is... Could you you get a fake passport for another country that's not fake enough that you're going to get in trouble with the law, but it's fake enough that it's going to trick a prospective partner. And when they go, why have you got like a Czech passport in your chest of drawers? You just say, that's for me to know.
Yeah, never you mind. Never look in that drawer again. I was friends with a guy at school who didn't know what his dad did, but his dad would have to travel around the world at very last
affairs,
minute.
Affairs. He's doing affairs.
he was a professional bigamist. And he had a briefcase that no one was allowed to look in. I mean, come on. You're asking for trouble, aren't you?
Yeah. Either he is genuinely a spy or he does a very boring job but wants people to think he's a spy.
Yeah, that could be it. Isn't being a spy, isn't one of the things you hear that's like, oh, it's not actually that exciting. It's all paperwork all the time. I think that's what they say about being a spy. And there's a lot of like sitting in the office, poring over CCTV or listening to muffled, audio recordings. I have thought in the past, I'd quite like to be one of those guys, you know, in like a crime drama or something, they go and see a guy who's like tried to fix some audio
Oh, okay.
Because they've got a recording that's like a dodge. They've got like a dodgy voicemail, and they can't really make out. And then someone's. I think that looks like a fun job. I'd like to be that.
Unfortunately,
guy.
That guy is now just an AI piece of software. But yes, in theory.
Yeah, true.
In theory, that is a cool job. Or yeah. Like, obviously, as previously stated, I'm never going to get to this state. But the sort of guy who is dodgy, but detectives and stuff come to and have a chat with in a laundrette.
Yeah, that's good.
Sort of playing both sides. That would be fun. No, it wouldn't. It would be the worst thing in the world. But I like the idea of it.
I saw a guy who definitely fits that mold the other day. There was a... sometimes I worry about kind of the gentrification of East London and where I live, and it's kind of a classic East London part of town. And you sort of think, oh, it's all going to get replaced with lovely delis and, you know, the East End as we know it's no longer going to exist. And then I was walking past one of the local pubs yesterday, and there was a bloke selling... All it said on the boxes was Belgian pork out the back of a van. Absolutely phenomenal. Cash only. Next to a pub, Belgian pork. And I thought, it's okay. You know, some of it lives on. The spirit lives on. Is Belgium at all famous for its pork?
Denmark's big for bacon, right?
Denmark's big on the bacon. Huge on the bacon. John, if it had been Danish bacon he was sent out the back of the van, I wouldn't have even blinked
twice.
You
would have got some.
I might have bought some.
Are we saying that Belgian pork is actually some sort of narcotic?
That's good. There you go. First case for Barbara Broccoli and Aaron Taylor-Johnson to solve in the new Bond film. Belgian pork's quite a good... It doesn't sound like the villain, but it sounds like the villain's sidekick. Like Jaws or Odd Job or whatever. There's Belgian pork.
And obviously, this is like a retro Bond film from like the 60s.
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to fry.
It's from the 60s, right? Where people weren't PC. So it's obviously Belgian pork is a fat man.
Yes. Enormous Belgian man. Right, John, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, we're doing the thing that is our podcast. We are here to pitch some film ideas. Would you like one from
me?
Yes,
please.
This one's from Stu. Joe Rogan.
I've got it.
It's the podcast of Joe Rogan. Involved. Is he... I don't know. That's all we've got, really. Sometimes people handily offer us like a line of description to kind of ease our way into the film idea. Stu just says, pronounce like Joe Rogan. Yeah, thanks, Stu. We managed to get that. We got up on our own. It doesn't give us much in the way of plot.
That's the tagline to the movie.
Pronounce like Joe Rogan.
Here's the thing, Joel. Can I reveal a thing that many years ago, about 10 years ago, you were toying with the idea of making a podcast set with... Or a fake radio show set with... in the Harry Potter universe. Can I say that to the listener?
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe it's like a podcast set within the Star Wars universe.
That was a good idea, man. That was the premise was if Hogwarts had a student radio station.
Yeah, great idea.
It is a good idea. Obviously, that was in what I would like to call the before times, before the beast that is J.K. Rowling emerged as...
Oh, yes. So
as is today. I would like to cut all ties. I would like to cut all affiliations with myself and that wizarding world of Harry Potter. I'm no longer exploring those avenues. I am instead looking to do... What would it be like if there was a celebrity chef in Middle-earth?
Oh, like Dive In and Diners, but he's going to like, you know...
He's going around trying all the food. Yeah, it's Guy Fieri cruising around Middle-earth trying out all the best foods.
I love that.
So you're saying that there's like a... There has to be... We don't get to see much in the way of the entertainment on offer in the universe of Star Wars, right? There's the Cantina Band. That's kind of the only thing I'm aware of. But it can't... John, it can't be 24/7 Cantina Band or that weird song in Return of the Jedi.
The blue...
Hanunia Mahana, Hanunia Hoodie. It can't just be that.
I'm sorry. That song is actually good, right? I'm sorry. That's addition, right? That's a Lucas addition, right? Because it's all CG.
Wait, it wasn't in the original film.
So either the character is added in CG or the whole song.
The thing about George Lucas fucking around with these films is I don't know. I've got no idea which version I first saw or what's really going on. So in my mind, this is the way that memory works, right? Because it's probably the most recent one I've seen. In my mind, that is original canon. That song is as important to the plot as like Luke, I am your father.
It is.
I thought that song was the Luke, I am your father moment of the third movie.
you were there how did it mouth agape like, wow. How did it? He's done it again.
This guy can tell a story. What is the point of the... I all I want to do is try and sing that song. Is it real words?
No, it's alien language, right?
Do you remember that song?
Were you going to ask me what the point of the third film is without that song?
No.
It's about the fact tiny bears can kill stormtroopers, right? That's the moral of that
one. No, but what happens?
We've lost Joe.
So funny, that scene is, so it's all about the debauchery of Jabba the Hutt's hut, right?
Yeah.
And his lair. And they thought, we don't get that across enough in the original film. You know, we see that there's the sort of gladiatorial games that go on down there. There's all that stuff. But what we really need is a banging tune.
Mm.
And so they retroactively put that in there at the cost of maybe $1 million.
Yeah, I think so. This is actually a really good point, Joe. What do...
I'm sorry, but I've got it open on YouTube. I can't. It's the funniest fucking thing in the world.
I don't think that sequence existed in the original cut. I could be wrong.
No. This could be our next spin-off podcast. We track down that singer.
And the theme tune is sort of legally different, but very similar to that song.
It's me. It's obviously me. It's apparently, it's sung by an American trumpeter called Jerry Hay. 74-year-old Jerry Hay. He was a session musician who worked on Michael Jackson's Thriller. What?
We need to know, was it in the original edition?
He composed and arranged the song Jedi Rocks for the 1997 special edition re-release of Return of the Jedi. Damn.
If the song's called Jedi Rocks, that sort of goes against the... She should not be singing that song.
Doesn't make any sense.
She should be saying Jedi suck.
Jedi suck, exactly. But no one can understand what she's saying.
It's propaganda.
Because it's just complete propaganda. She's doing the Lord's work. Maybe she's a Jedi.
Oh, now that is undercover. A good fan theory.
John, this is, I'll be honest, I think the last 10 minutes of this podcast are almost are so confusing. I wish you luck in the edit, because it's mostly me just thinking about the little alien person who sings, Hani Nu Hina.
None of this is getting edited, John. I want to go way back to when...
Good, okay.
When...
People listening that haven't seen the 1997 edition of Return of the Jedi, complete waste of time listening to this episode, I would say.
I want to go back to when the podcast is making sense. And you discussed the idea of, like, you know, like we're saying radio podcasts. What? And they're the only entertainment, as far as I can tell, in the Star Wars universe is going to a bar and seeing music. There is no...
Seeing live music.
You don't see...
That's good. It's good that they support live music. There's venues shutting down all over the UK day and night. Recent report in the UK that there's, in a few years' time, there'll be half as many nightclubs as there are now. Not a problem in Star Wars. Loads of nightclubs.
Oh, my
bars.
Gosh, yeah.
The live music scene in Star Wars is thriving. So maybe the introduction of radio, TV, etc. would lead to the downfall of these things. Maybe they'd stop socialising. Maybe if we put a radio in the Millennium Falcon, there'd be no need to go to the cantina bar and the whole thing would never happen.
Do you know the cantina music is a genre of music, and are you aware of what the genre of music is called?
No, go on.
It's called jizz.
Fuck off.
It is. It's called jizz, and it's been called jizz for a very long time, but recently they've tried to, they've tried to change it.
It's a spunk.
It's now, yeah, it's called cum. And it's called... It's called Jats music. They've tried to change it, but that was only that was only last year that they've tried to rebrand it to Jats. Until that point, it was jizz.
It was jizz music. Oh my God.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, shall I give you a film idea? Like, sorry, yeah.
I think we got as much as we possibly could out of that one.
Sorry, Stu. What about this one from Alex? Freddy the Eagle, a heartwarming tale of one man's journey from the nightmares of children to the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary.
Yeah, so it's Freddy Krueger competing at the Winter Olympics. Yeah. I like it. I think, what's the score with Freddy Krueger? He's got knife hands?
He's got knife hands. He appears in your dreams, so you don't want to go to sleep. And I assume if he kills you in your sleep, you die.
So not a problem, because a lot of the Winter Olympics events take place in the evening. Fine.
He could ice skate on his hands.
No, that's what I was thinking. He's basically got built-in blades, and blades are pretty welcome at the Winter Olympics. He could use them as ski poles. Mm. Or if he was one of the guys in like the skeleton or the bobsled, he could really fling them down that chute, couldn't he?
And sort of stab it in to do some some sort of turns and stuff.
Yeah.
I think what this film is, Alex, is it's a two-hour... There's actually very little sort of sports going on. It's a two-hour legal drama about him getting the country of Dreamland accepted as a competitor in the Olympics.
That's really good. I thought you were going to say it's about whether or not the blade hands were considered cheating. He cleans up gold medals at the Winter Olympics and it gets taken. Have you seen... I think what's interesting is that I think this was like a bit of stand-up. Forgive me for not knowing who did this originally. But there was a bit of stand-up about drugs cheats in sports years and years ago. And someone saying, I want to see all of them on drugs. Yeah. I want to really see this, push them to the limit, right? That's now a legitimate, serious suggestion. And there's like venture capitalists behind it that are throwing loads of money into Olympics where everyone's taking a crazy amount of performance-enhancing drugs.
It feels very... Something about that feels barbaric. Like, people's heads are going to be exploding on the track.
Yeah, people will die. I feel like people will definitely die. It's insane. They want the first one to take place next year with qualifying to start this year.
I wouldn't...
It's crazy, man.
Look, here's me being completely honest. You know I hate lying. I wouldn't watch it, but when those clips appear on my TikTok and Twitter, am I scrolling past them? No. Yeah. I'm fucking watching those clips.
Yeah, but I think the problem is, I think the people that have suggested this maybe don't realise that, like, it's not as if people are going to be running the 100 metres in 3 seconds. Like, it's still a human body, right? And performance-enhancing drugs are usually there to help, like, aid recovery. It's not as though it's going to be, like, some sort of fucking Space Jam situation where we're going to put on this event next year and someone's going to throw a javelin, like, the length of Kent. It's not going to happen.
And also, look, unless it becomes incredibly popular, in the first stages, you're not getting Usain Bolt. You're going to be getting the sort of mid-level normal athletes taking
Well,
the
even
drugs.
Better than that, I think it's retired athletes that have said a few retired athletes said they're interested, like guys in their 40s. So it's just going to be like older dudes just off out of their nut on performance.
Yeah, that's even more likely that people's hearts are going to stop.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crikey. So there you go.
Freddy
the Eagle.
Freddy the Eagle. Great idea. How about this one from Matt? Tintin Quarantino. So Tintin solves mysteries. I wasn't... Now, you're French, so you probably grew up reading a lot of Tintin.
Yeah, though crucially, he is Belgian, right? Much like our pork supplies.
He is Belgian. Much like my dinner for the next 9 days, he is Belgian. Was Tintin in your wheelhouse as a child?
Yeah, so he's like a kid adventurer. So, you know, he'd go to the moon, he'd go to Egypt... He'd sort that, you know, there were problematic depictions of people,
yeah, the moon,
stuff like
Egypt.
That. Just sort of classic comics.
I was much bigger on the Asterix the Ghoul scene.
Well, that's proper French stuff. So I'm with you.
That is proper French. I absolutely adored Asterix and Obelix, the Druid Getafix and the whole gang. I thought that was great. My knowledge of Tintin's really limited to, I think, an animated series that might have been on Channel 4 when I was a child. And I did see the film that...
Spielberg?
Steven Spielberg. And Joe Cornish made. They were the only two people that made it.
Isn't the writing of that film the source of the Tom Cruise drawing story?
It is, yeah. Because he's drawing Tintin's dog. Crazy that surely the intention for that was it was going to become a big franchise, right?
Yeah, you'd imagine so. And it was good. It was good fun. Yeah, so to be fair, so I've had books in my house, but I wouldn't say that I am... super au fait with them. So my main knowledge is from that film, which is probably a more ramped up action version of what the books are, let's be fair. But basically adventuring around the world. So we just gotta, why would he quarry? He's opened up a sarcophagus from hundreds of years ago, and it turns out it's got some sort of ancient virus, and so he has to quarantine for a week so that he doesn't give it to anyone. But
if you Google it, there is a There is an IMDb page for the An Untitled Adventures of Tintin sequel, which is currently penciled in for 2027. First film came out in 2011, so it's a pretty hefty 16-year gap. I don't really know who they're hoping to catch with the sequel coming out. By then, it'll be parents of people that watched the original.
Well, the it was done CG, so would they still get the guy from Billy Elliot to be the main guy? Maybe they get Tom Holland instead, a different
Jamie Bell,
a different Billy Elliot.
Yeah, they could get Tom Holland.
I mean, in terms of sort of seeing something as a parent that you saw as a kid, in a couple of years' time, I would definitely be taking my son to go see a Toy Story film at the cinema, which seems absurd.
Oh, yeah, that is mad.
So there we go.
That is mad. Well, there we go. Keep them coming. John, would you like one from me?
Yes, please.
This one's from me. The King Kong speech. King Kong is brought back to Britain after being captured and rises up the ranks of the royal family as they mysteriously disappear from public life, only to find himself as the ruler of the UK.
How far
King Kong
down
arrives
the bloodline?
on shore the same time that the royals start disappearing, and no one makes the connection until it's too late and they've made him a massive crown. All the while, he's working with an Australian speech therapist so that he can give his first address as king.
Yeah, how far down the bloodline is he?
Well, he's a king, right? So I assume he's just like, you know, like sometimes you hear about like, oh, there's the one of the royals is going over to see the Greek royal family. You're like, huh, I didn't know they had a royal family in Greece. Huh, I didn't know they were, you know, and then Denmark. The royal families of Europe are what? Denmark, Greece, Holland? I feel like Norway's got one. Anyway, this is just another one. This is another like ambassadorial role. You hear, oh, Prince William's off where? Oh, he's going to Skull Island to, you know, for for the state funeral of King Kong. That kind of vibe.
But if enough British of the British royal family die, it defers to Skull Island.
Yeah, ultimately. I've read the constitution. We don't have a constitution, but if we did have a constitution, somewhere in there, at some point King Kong's in charge.
Okay. Would you like this one from me?
Yeah.
Roadhouse. Jake Gyllenhaal lives in a caravan.
Great. I guess it is a roadhouse by any other name. There used to be a bar in Maidstone, which was... So when I was growing up, you'd go to the local town centre of Rochester for your night out. But if it was a big deal, if it was a big celebration, you may go to Maidstone, where there were upwards of like 3 nightclubs. You know, it was like going to Vegas or something. And there was a bar called Roadhouse, which has now sadly closed down, which I can only assume is because of the 80s film Roadhouse. I don't know if that was a big enough deal. I don't think it's enough for the nostalgia of the 80s film Roadhouse to then lead to a bar in a provincial, like a provincial nightclub bar, to be called Roadhouse. It seems nuts to me. No one that went there would have been old enough to have seen Roadhouse.
It can't be a reference to...
But there's nothing else. Isn't that all Roadhouse is? Anyway, Jake Gyllenhaal lives in a caravan. What's the story? What's the deal with Roadhouse? He's like a bouncer or something?
Yeah, it's a fighting movie, right? There's a big fight. In the remake, Conor McGregor's in it.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a bouncer. Yes. You're right. He is a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse. So roadhouse is one word, is a thing. It is a thing.
Whatever. Right, okay. It's a type of bar.
Yeah, a roadhouse.
Like a tavern.
Yeah, it must be. But unfortunately, because I'm Googling it in the UK, it's just like, yeah, the film. Do you want to see the film? What? So yeah, I can't get
damn.
Back
okay, well. Jake Gyllenhaal's in a caravan, gets into fights. Anyway, it's been really lovely doing this, John. If you had to pick a winner from today's submissions, which one would you choose?
I think Freddy the Eagle.
Freddy the Eagle, congratulations. Well done. We'll see you after this music. Well done, John. Have you been enjoying any popular culture in the last few days? What have you seen?
The most interesting thing is that I finally watched American Fiction on Friday evening, which is Oscar-winning movie, really meta.
Oscar great. Winning.
Would definitely recommend. It's available on Amazon Prime, so if you're on Amazon Prime, you can get it for free. Would recommend.
Nice, nice, good stuff. I started watching series 2 of the show Extraordinary on Disney Plus. It's fucking brilliant. Have you ever seen? Have you seen series 1?
Yes,
it's really, really good. Series 2 picks up where it literally picks up, I think, like immediately where series 1 left off, but also picks up where series 1 left off in terms of quality.
Oh, great!
It's just really fun. It's a really fun show. Loads of heart about, you know, everyone in this alternate reality has a superpower. which means that lots of them are incredibly mundane, and it's about the central character who's yet to discover their superpower. But it's really good. It's like a really fun, lovely show. I like it a lot. I would recommend that.
Yeah. Weirdly, it's like, because it's on Disney Plus, you'd think, oh, that's really huge. But in a way, I think it would be better served on like a Channel 4 or something in some ways, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. It definitely feels more like, yeah, it feels more in the world of like Big Boys or something like that on Channel 4, I guess. But yeah, that's my recommendation, John. Thanks for coming, everyone. And we'll see you the same time next week. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And
it's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.